On dead bodies, you put the garland on from behind. I have to write my book on Vaishnav etiquette, but first I have to finish the Mood and Mission book. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
You're expecting more people to come, is it? Most likely. So, jaise apne kaha to jitne bhi samne aa sakte to aa jaye. Otherwise we have to do so in the middle of the class and disturb it. Nanda Kumar Prabhu had asked me to speak on two subjects, which, although both related to devotional service, they are in different categories, so they're not directly related except under the umbrella of devotional service. The first thing regards health, and particularly you said that seeing as several of the devotees' bodies are becoming old, which happens to all bodies except those that die early. Health issues are there. And the importance of trying to keep the body healthy. In this regard, you can cite one verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. There's the culture here of learning shlokas is quite strong, huh?
Not as strong as it was.
Not as strong as it was. It's still a strong culture. That was introduced by, I'm just trying to think, Mahamani Krishna Prabhu, who was your guru. Father. And yeah, did what a father is supposed to do, which is feed, clothe, and in all respects look after the children and give them Krishna consciousness. So in this regard, there's a verse from the second chapter of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is fairly well known. Kamasya Nendriya Pritir Labho Jiveta Yavata Jivasya Tattva Jignyaso Narto Yascheha Karma Bihi. Like, it's easier to remember the Sanskrit than the English. So, the translation. Srila Prabhupada in the purport, although it's not directly in the Sanskrit, mentions, I'll come to this, life's desires should never be directed towards sense gratification. One should desire only a healthy life, that's the point, a healthy life, or self-preservation, since a human being is meant for inquiry about the absolute truth, nothing else should be the goal of one's works. Now, in Krishna consciousness, especially as taught to us by Srila Prabhupada, following the example of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in the Bhagavad Gita, the first thing that Krishna teaches is, as Srila Prabhupada put it, we are not the body. We actually have nothing to do with this body. I am not this body. This body is chemicals. I am not chemicals. I actually find that's a very good way to present it to people. If you tell them you're a soul, you're not the body, they often can't relate to that due to bad training. But if you tell them, I am not chemicals, you are not chemicals, this body is chemicals, you are more than chemicals, then that's one way they can relate to that. So life's desires should never be directed towards sense gratification. Now, people, they want to keep the body fit and healthy for sense gratification, generally. There's the gym in the Aline building. People go to the gym and they want to get fit for, so that, well, if your body's fit and healthy, then you can enjoy life. As the saying goes, or it's, you can have millions of dollars, but if you're not, if you're sick, then you can't enjoy life. So generally it's considered that the endeavor to keep the body healthy is for sense gratification, but Srila Prabhupada continues with his rendition of the translation of this verse. One should desire only a healthy life or self-preservation, since a human being is meant for inquiry about the Absolute Truth. Nothing else should be the goal of one's works. So if the goal, the only goal of one's activities is inquiring about the Absolute Truth, and not just inquiring, tattva jignasa in this verse, but finding out also. And then how to find out, that's stated just after a few verses, Srinvatang Swakatar Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Vidyantista. Oh, actually, before it becomes Nityang Bhagavata Seva, one should engage always in hearing the Bhagavatam. So then why bother with the, if we know we're not the body, then why should we bother looking after the body? And the answer is given there, because or it's hinted at, one should desire a healthy life for the sake of inquiring into the Absolute Truth. In this regard, there are some important verses. Let me see who knows this one. Labdva sudur labam idang bahu sambhavante manusham artadam anitya. See, the word arta again comes. Nartasya, again and again. Manusham artadam. Again, and we find that in Prahlad Maharaj's first instruction. Kumara acharet pragya dharman bhagavatani durlabang manusham janmata tadapi adhruvam artadam. Manusham artadam. Anityam api hadhira turnam yateta napateta numritta yavan nishrayasaya vishaya kalu sarvata syat. Most important instruction. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, I will go on speaking on this as long as I live. You like to sit down? Do you need a chair? So the point is that this is also spoken by Krishna directly, by the way, this verse. Having attained a human birth, which is attained after many, many births, Labdvas Sudurlabham, very rarely attained, after many births, Manush, the human form of life, which is Artadam, it can give value. There's no value in material existence, but in human life we can get actual value. A person who is dhira, sober, can understand that it's not going to last very long. But because it is artadam, because it can give value, we should utilize this window of opportunity. You've heard that phrase, probably, window of opportunity. This window of, there is a human form of life. Turnam, don't delay. Do it quickly, because not much time. Before the body dies, which it surely will do, one should do whatever is required so that one is not born again. And if one thinks that, let me enjoy the senses, then one should consider being sober, dhira, that I've enjoyed the senses in so many lives, and I can go on doing so, but there's no enjoyment there. Therefore, we should get that which is of value beyond this so-called enjoyment of this material life, which only brings suffering. And there are so many things. And then the next verse, Prahlad says after that, Sukham Aindriyakam Daite. Yeah, so anyway, you're going to get happiness, you're going to get distress, forget it. Now in this human life, use it for what? For sense gratification, is that right? No. In this regard, Krishna speaks a similar verse again to Uddhava, we find in the 11th canto of Bhagavatam. Anyone? If I give the first word, you'll get it. But it's better if you know it anyway. You know what it is, but you click, click. What's the other verse related to this in the 11th canto? Nridehama. Don't know that one? Nridehama adyang sulabam sudurlabai. See, similar words. Sudur labam. Nridehama adyam sulabam sudurlabam. Pavan sukalpo guru karnadara. Mayana. What is it? Mayanukulena nabhasvate ritam puman bhavabding natarit saatmaha. Krishna says that this human birth, which is now obtained, somehow or other we have it. We got it. Sulabham. You don't have to do anything to get it. You got it. But which is, if we consider it's very rarely attained, it's like a suitable boat for crossing the ocean of material existence. A cat body, a dog body, a camel body, a mosquito body, not suitable. Even a demigod body or a demon body is not so suitable. So it's a very suitable boat for crossing the ocean of material existence. And if we've come so far as not simply to have the body, but we've accepted a guru who's an expert captain for guiding the boat, then we have a good opportunity. But even that still might not be enough. In the days of sailing, I used to go by sailing boats from here, from Dubai to India. What are they called? Dhows? Dhow. Still, I don't think so. No one does that. Maybe for fun.
Yeah, it's become more like restaurants and...
Yeah, it's for wasting your human form of life. So you also need a favorable wind. If the wind's blowing the wrong way, then even the planes, if you're flying into the wind, it's going to take you longer than if you're flying with the wind. So the favor Krishna says, if you have the human form of life, you have a guru who's competent to guide, like a captain to guide the boat. And you have Krishna's instructions in Shastra, which are like the favorable wind, but one fails still to cross the ocean of birth and death, then one is atmaha, killing the self, suiciding. Now what's all this got to do with health? The body, human form of life, is suitable for God realization. A fully self-realized person is beyond the conditions of the body. I've been listening to Srila Prabhupada, the conversations with Srila Prabhupada throughout 1977. Srila Prabhupada was enacting the pastimes of sickness. But then the doctor was astonished that he had such a bad cough, Srila Prabhupada, and then he stopped. I mean, he said, it's not possible by medicine or anything. It's only, if he wants Prabhupada, then the Kaviraj, the doctor, said that Prabhupada's called me here to give medicine, but actually it's all his lila, because if he wants, he can be sick, and if he wants, he can be healthy, whatever he likes. Prabhupada hadn't eaten for weeks, and then his sister came, and Prabhupada said, let her cook for me. She cooked a whole meal with mustard oil, heavy food, and the devotees are pleading with Prabhupada that, Prabhupada, you haven't eaten anything for weeks. This will kill you, literally. Prabhupada said, get out of the room. He ate it all, digested it. And then again he went on eating nothing. So a pure devotee is beyond the modes of material nature, and he can do whatever he likes. But for us who are trying to be pure devotees, we know we're not the body, but we have to utilize the body for practicing Krishna consciousness. Shariram adyam kalu dharma sadhanam. You know that famous line from Kalidas, I believe it is, which that the body is needed for practicing sadhana and all these things. It's not fully a sadhana, but for we feel the difference, don't we? If we're sick, it's very difficult to chant. I think it was just after Janmashtami last year, or this year, if we're going to say by the devotional calendar, then I got very sick. I didn't chant for days. Practically all I could do was I'd make a note in my diary, didn't chant, zero rounds. And then the first day I started chanting seven rounds, and then I had to catch it up later. I wasn't dancing in kirtan, I wasn't going to kirtan, I was just lying on the bed all day, all night. No sadhana, nothing, no preaching. And even if we don't get something as that completely flattens us like that, if we're feeling sluggish, or we have a headache, or any kind of ache, how many kinds of aches are there? How many parts of the body? Earache, now I got an earache. Don't inquire about it, it's a minor thing. Earache, headache can be very severe. All kinds of aches, earaches can be very severe. Toothache. You remember years and years ago I was here and I couldn't sleep at night? You don't remember, you weren't even born then. What other? Backache. Pain in the backside, that's what you call someone if you don't like them, right? That's another kind of ache that's is adhyatmic, adhibhautik. So that's another kind of ache. That's not what we're talking. That's the next thing we're going to talk about. Right? How to get on with people. Earache, arm ache, leg ache, pain in the leg, knee pain. Who said that? All the ladies who have marble floors, especially. In Delhi, you see all the middle-class women, they're all limping, isn't it? Have you seen anyone from Delhi here? They're all limping from the cold floor and cold climate. Knee ache. Anyway, there's so many kinds. How many kinds of diseases are there? However many there are, they're always discovering new ones, right? And it does affect their health. So it's important to keep the body healthy. In youth, no one properly appreciates this, because there's, by the power of Maya, in youth, when we feel healthy and strong, we think it will continue forever. Even though we know, we can see, everyone gets old and sick. But there's a feeling by the power of Maya that I can do anything. I can go without sleep for 3 days, and in the non-culture or anti-culture that I came from, you can take all kinds of intoxication and do all kinds of, and then you feel terrible afterwards. You drink some booze and you feel terrible the day after, but you get over it and then you go on. So you feel like, yeah, I'm strong, I'm healthy. Actually, for a devotee, sickness, we continue. It's the perfect antidote to the Ishvaroham Ahambhogi Siddhoham Balavan Sukhi syndrome, which we're all possessed of. But if we're sick, and if we study Bhagavad Gita, we can understand Ishvara Naham. I'm not in control. The sickness is controlling me. I'm not. There's nothing I can't enjoy. I'm not siddha. Siddha means, I can do everything by myself. I don't need anyone to help me. Siddha, balavan, definitely not. And sukhi, I got a thermometer in my mouth and a drip in my arm, and not sukhi. So sickness is good if we're philosophically inclined. For counteracting the maya of thinking, Ishvaroham aham bhogi, siddhoham balavan sukhi. But in youth, that tendency is there to think, I don't have to bother. But believe it or not, folks, whether you believe it or not, everyone gets old. And it's a shock. It comes as a shock to everyone. I was thinking someone could... Okay, here's a little joke to lighten things up. Someone should design an automated program so that when someone's phones go off, you send a drone. Not to kill them, because we're devotees, but to smash their phone into pieces. Is that his phone? Is it your phone?
No.
Okay. The best thing is to be trained from childhood to understand these things. In Madhva Sampradaya, they're very strong in this, because Madhva is Vayu, who's most powerful. Vayu sarvatra go mahan. Vayu is blowing everywhere, the wind. And it's so difficult that the example is given by Arjuna, Chanchalanghi manah Krishna pramati balavadritam tasyaham nigrahang manye vayuriva sudushkara. So stronger than the mind. Whoa, that's really powerful, isn't it? So Madhva is Vayu, he's Hanuman, he's Bhima, he's strong. And he instituted for his followers that from a young age they should have an exercise regime. And you see, even today, if you go to the Purna Pragya Vidya Pitam, which was founded by Vishveshwar Tirtha Maharaj, who just passed away and is interred there, that the boys, they really study. They said that these young brahmanas, that culture is still going on in Madhva Sampradaya, and at Kanchi, and at Rishyashringa, Sringeri, they sit the boys down and they just study literally for 10 hours a day. It's a heavy study. But in Madhva Sampradaya they have exercise also. So from the beginning of life, they have this culture that they should have. Nowadays it's cricket. Maybe they do something else also, but at least when I saw they do cricket, which is not very good exercise, actually. It's actually a very bad exercise. Most of these sports are bad exercise. Why? Because cricket is one-sided. If you're a left-handed or right-handed batsman or bowler, then it's one-sided. And it's not good, actually. In many ways, it's very bad. And contact sports like soccer, also injuries, and heading the ball is not good at all for health. But some exercise should be there. I'm not much of a fan of yoga for preaching. We'll have to see. Phalena Parichyate, just like we're discussing. It's easy to get people for the exercises, less easy to get them for the kirtan and difficult to get them for the philosophy. But for health-wise, that can be good. But like all exercises, including picking petals to pieces, well, I guess for that you don't need. But it does. It should be done under some guidance, preferably, because it's quite possible to injure oneself. Now, somehow or other, generally in India, the culture is not one of physically looking after the body. For some reason or other, it's traditionally people, they may not have needed to do exercise because anyway, there's so much walking naturally. Just to give an example, Sri Ramanuja, when residing at Sri Rangam, would daily bring water from Kaveri. So just doing that in itself is for the Lord, not for him, for the Lord. So naturally some exercise would be there. And in our Krishna conscious Gaudiya tradition, we have kirtan and dancing, so that's some kind of exercise there. But with the urbanization, a lot of that's been lost. And then even the farmers, so much of it is mechanized that they don't get the same kind of exercise as they used to, physical exercise. So some physical exercise is required for the body. And there are so many things to do for maintenance of the body. In this 1977 conversations with Srila Prabhupada, I was discussing about one of Srila Prabhupada's old friends from his whole life, a friend of Srila Prabhupada's, who was obviously old also at that time, one Dr. Ghosh from Allahabad. So he wanted to interact with the Gurukul in Vrindavan for teaching the boys in detail about health and diet and all this, and Prabhupada wasn't interested. He was interested, you have a dispensary and they can help the devotees if they get sick, but he wasn't interested that you teach so many things. But in my experience, and I did have very good exposure to traditional Indian culture, living in Bangladesh, which is politically not India, but culturally it was in many ways more Indian than much of India. At that time it was not at all modernized. There were no roads, no cars, no motorbikes, no bicycles, no doctors. I mean, not this kind of, the Western kind of doctor, hospital, the word was not known to most Bengalis in Bangladesh at the time. You could just imagine that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dancing party might come, because it was the same way of life, the same culture, the houses were built of mud, and people kept cows and plowed the field, it's still like that. So, most of the people were in the villages not much educated, but everyone knew everything about health, especially the women. Just like someone gets a stomach upset, okay, go out in the field, find a few plants growing wild, put them on the shield, roll it, make a little juice, drink it, finished. And all kinds of things. If there's a snake bite, that's more severe. You have to call the fakir and he'll do some magic. Actually, they do magic, and if you can get the fakir in time. Snake bite was quite common, death by snake bite, still is. But all kinds of things, and people knew how to keep healthy, just like you don't eat yogurt at night, for instance. During the winter, you don't eat yogurt. You may take it midday, and in the rainy season, all kinds of things. This coconut water, you don't drink after sundown. Because everyone knows this food is heating, this food is cooling. When you have a cold, you eat such and such a food. In the hot season, you eat this food. And in Ayurveda, there are terms for this. This is, what is that called? Rityacharya, that according to season, how we live, how we behave, sleeping in the day is acceptable in the hot season, but not in the cold season. And so many things, because it disturbs the vat. And although there was no need of education, because just everyone knew it. When the season changes, then a certain thing. This Khajur Gur, it's for the winter. That's the date sugar candy or whatever. I don't know what it's called in English. I don't know if there's any word for it in English. Then when the Chaitra Shurute Sheta Bandha Korahoi Naki. When Chaitra Mash begins, then you stop eating it. And actually the seasons change just overnight, practically. So people knew all these things, which helped to keep them healthy. They're just things that everyone knew. But in the modern age, what do you know? No one learns all these. They don't know. I'm surprised. When I go to Bangladesh now, I see all the things I learned. Now they don't. The culture's changed. They became more. Everyone has a phone. More than India. Everyone. And many Western ideas have come in, even to the village people. Isn't it? So, actually that should be taught along with from the beginning of life. But then you're living such an artificial life here. Just I gave a talk recently about artificial, I probably said about artificial life in the cities, and he compared it to Vrindavan life. And Prabhupada said, because the women in the modern age, they don't do physical work, therefore they don't have full breasts. Do you remember reading that? It's in the 10th canto, 3rd chapter, I believe, Prabhupada said, talking about artificial life. So he's saying the women, they become very beautiful by doing all their work and this and that, not by going to the beauty parlor. Well, Prabhupada didn't say that. Our devotees, they don't understand this either. And when you get to middle age, you start to find out, and you go on finding out more and more. Personally, I'm at a situation in my life where I really have to invest quite a lot of time every day. I'd like to sit in front of a computer and work on my books all day, but mentally difficult to do so, and physically getting increasingly difficult to do so. So I'm doing something, I lead a privileged life, which you can't all do this, but I do. And something I've been resisting for years because I think it's just a waste of time, but I'm having a massage every day, which I haven't had for about 2 weeks now because of busyness and this and that. But otherwise very difficult because of bodily pain. I try to do a little yoga every day and regulation, taking meals at the same time. Prabhupada was very strong on that. It makes a lot of difference. You control your diet. Don't eat more than you need to. It's very hard when you're a guru and you have all these loving lady devotees who they want to express their motherly love for me by cooking for me. And I feel I should eat, but then I get sick. So what to do? So try to keep a simple diet and know what's good for you and eat that. Controlling the diet is very helpful. Another thing is mostly the food that people eat today is poisonous, actually, as you know. Organic food costs more, but it could be a good investment, because apart from the health effects, which are immediate in lower energy level, lower mental energy level, and then apart from that, then they're more likely to get serious diseases, and doctors are very expensive, right? How many mothers want to feed poison to their children? It's a silly question, isn't it? It's a silly question, but most of them in the world today are doing it. That's called progress of civilization. But it's worth making the effort to get food which will not poison. The air is poisoning you anyway. Difficult in this part of the world to get water which is not poisonous. Even if you get that bottle, what's it from, that spring in the desert? Masafi water. But it comes in plastic bottles. And Yashoda Nandan told me it's not completely, it's mixed. So anyway, do the best you can. You could also join our farm community. All the air in India is polluted, even if you go to the farms. Not only in India, if you go to the Maldives, that's also polluted with air coming from India. Can you believe it? There's no industry, nothing, but it's polluted with air coming from India. So definitely, even up at Karumandarai, but it's a lot cleaner than Bangalore and Chennai, and very polluted. So at least the air is cleaner, you can get, and fresh food, the water. In many places, the water from underground is polluted also. But then if you go in the village side, a lot of it's good also. So that's a good solution. And it's also, a lot of pollution that affects physical health is mental pollution. Kaam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, matsarya. Especially matsarya. Envy that makes it's almost literally a poison. And probably the modern day doctors have studied that it produces poison in the body. What's the cure for that? Cheto darpana marjanam. Cleaning the mirror of the heart by chanting the holy names. So anyway, there's some idea. It's just a matter of being sensible. Not that we're attached to the body, not that we want the body for sense gratification, but for serving Krishna, we should try to look after the body. And there are certain things you can do to do that. We don't want to get overly attached to or absorbed in the body. And at the same time, we know ultimately health, there's Krishna's hand. You can do your best to try to be healthy, but sickness may come also. But it's our duty to try to use this body for Krishna's service. One thing I find personally and very helpful or let's put it around the other way, very bad for health, which most of you won't have, which is a lot of traveling. It really drains. And that's obvious, and it's in Shastra, Chanakya. But that's part of sannyasi dharma, but I'm trying to cut down on that and write some books and spend time on the farm communities and trying to encourage the devotees there. That's also why I haven't been coming here so much. But thanks to modern technology, I can at least be projected. Hari Bol, you there in America, is this live broadcast? Okay, Radhika Gopinath there in Seattle area, quite likely. So Haribol didn't go to Seattle for how many years? 5 years, something like that. Had a Shravan Kirtan come there. But by the grace of modern technology and by the grace of the controller of the senses servant, who's... Those of you who are online can't see him because I'm sitting in front of the camera, he's sitting behind it. It's all his brainchild. I didn't want to... I thought it's just over-endeavor, getting all this fancy equipment and carrying it around, but it's having its effects. So, thanks to him. My kind mothers who want to feed me all kinds of food, tomorrow you can cook up a huge feast. But I won't take it because I'm too old. You can feed him. He's a young man, he can take it. Okay, on to the next point. What's the next point? Devotees don't get on with each other. I was going to relate that. Yeah, yeah, Matsarya, Mendi, envy. Envy leads to disease. Literally. Why don't devotees get on with each other? Oh yeah, there's another. I had lined up another quote here. Here we are. This is from the Srila Prabhupada's purport to the well-known verse, which I hope you all know. If you don't know, it's a very nice prayer. Twai me nanya vishaya. Madhupati. You know this verse. You must have. Twai me nanya vishaya. Matir madhupate sakrit. Ratim udvahatad adha. Gangay vauga mudanvati. O Lord of Madhu, Kunti Devi prays. As the Ganges forever flows to the sea without hindrance, let my attraction be constantly drawn unto you without being diverted to anyone else. Now, that doesn't mean that we should fight with everyone else. Our attraction toward Krishna not being diverted to anyone else doesn't mean that we fight with everyone else. And it also means that we should see Krishna and his devotees, because Acharyam eva haraye, anyone? Pujangya shradhaye hate na tad bhakteshu chanyeshu sabhakta prakrita smitaha. Symptom of a neophyte devotee thinks, I'm worshipping Krishna, very nice, I don't give a damn about anyone else, to put it in colloquial language. Doesn't care about other devotees or anyone else. So that's a materialistic devotee. One should honor the devotees. Now, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes here, in this Twai Mein Anya Vishaya. Now, what we're talking about, good relationships, means spiritual relationships between devotees, right? So Srila Prabhupada writes here, the relation of the soul to the soul. We're supposed to relate to each other, not that... Here's Nanda Kumar, he's a Brahmin from Tamil Nadu, smarter Brahmin to be exact. And who else? What's the opposite? No, here's Hrishikesh from Delhi, I don't know what caste he is. Maybe he doesn't know what caste he is because half the people in Delhi don't know anyway. Because it doesn't matter in Delhi, not because they transcended it, but because they lost their culture altogether. So the relation of the soul to the soul. So we're supposed to be beyond all that, right? And really, among devotees, I really hope it doesn't matter. And I know with Nanda Kumar, it doesn't matter. And that's really very good among Indian devotees, if we can get them to come together without consideration of caste, because it's really a big thing in India, but it's nonsense, actually. Well, it has its... usage, but among, in the spiritual consideration, to think I'm better because I'm from a higher caste, I don't want to speak with them, it's all nonsense. Although sometimes in marriage it may be a consideration because of the relatives and this and that, and customs and this and that. But anyway, we're supposed to be relating with each other as devotees. So the relation of the soul to the soul can be established by the via medium of the relation with the Super Soul. In other words, we should always remember that the basis of our relationships is Krishna. We're all here to serve Krishna. And we see where there are communities of devotees where there's a very strong sense that we're all here to serve Krishna. Then cooperation comes. Joint goal. Machiavellian politics. It wasn't invented by Machiavelli, whose name you may or may not have heard. It certainly wasn't invented him, but he became one of the things he became famous for writing about. He wrote a book called, he wrote in Italian, maybe it was Latin, The Prince. So it's a guide for rulers. No, definitely wasn't the first, because the Shanda Amarka Gurukul also taught that. But how to keep the people that you're ruling over, how to keep them from ganging up on you, the ruler, and overthrowing the ruler, then you have to have an external enemy, real or imagined. And then all the people, they unite. They come together to combat the enemy. So that's a materialistic consideration. But the point is, because people have a common goal, then their tendency to want to fight others is directed outwards. Otherwise, people fight among themselves. The fighting spirit is very strong, especially in Kali Yuga. It means Kali, means Kalaha, the age of quarrel. And we see that. From my Mlecha background, we see that the supporters of different soccer teams, they fight amongst each other. But when there's a game England is playing, then they all unite together. They all support the same. Because it transcends the local consideration. I don't know if transcends is the right word here, but from the literal English point of view, it's correct. But we want to use the word for transcend to Mangchayo Vyabhicharina Bhakti Yogena Sevate Sagunan Samatityata Samatita, to go beyond Brahmabhuyaya Kalpate, to go beyond the modes of material nature. Now, in Krishna consciousness is the purest form of religion. It's not based on envy. Some religious systems, it seems to me, they have enmity or hatred even more strong than the adherence to God. Or they think adherence to God means to kill others, hate them. Certainly that in certain sects or interpretations of a religion which is prominent in this part of the world, that is seen that it seems to be more about killing the infidels than loving God. In the Christian tradition I was raised in, to be a good Catholic, it was more about hating Protestants than having anything to do with God. And from the Protestants, from the other side. If you're a Protestant, you hate Catholics. What's the main symptom of being Protestant? It's supposed to be Christian, but it was more about hating Catholics than loving God. But Krishna consciousness is meant to be for the nirmatsara. persons who are without envy. That is possible if we develop love. Krishna consciousness is all about developing love for Krishna and his devotees and for all living beings. Sarva bhuta hite rataha. One should be engaged in activities for the benefit of all living beings with Krishna at the center. So really this is a religion of love. I gave a talk on that a few years ago called Religions of Hate and the Religion of Love. But it may not be so easy because we tend to be neophyte devotees. But really, there can be good relations among devotees if we're actually on the platform of anyabhilashita shunyam. Now, to become completely free of material desires, as we experience if we're honest and serious about Krishna consciousness, is not easy. But the spirit of wanting to seriously endeavoring to become free from material desires, if that is there, then we can cooperate nicely. Because if we're all on the platform of the common goal of wanting to serve Krishna, and then on that platform also, if someone doesn't like me or says something bad, we won't become so affected. We don't take it so personally. Recently, I was just a few, 2 or 3 days ago, I was reading transcripts of a conversation between Srila Prabhupada and one of his first disciples, Hayagriva Das. And Hayagriva was reading some of the teachings of different philosophers, Western philosophers to Prabhupada. One of them called was Blaise Pascal, who was a French scientist and philosopher, but he didn't talk about the science. Hayagriva spoke about the philosophy. And he was a Christian. And some things he said were very good. I personally found it among all the philosophers who Hayagriva and Shyamasundara discussed, I found Pascal very good. One thing I learned after coming to Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet, I remember one devotee, this Jagjivan Prabhu, years, not the one from South America, another one. He's from America also. He taught this to us. Pascal's wager. He said, okay, you don't believe in God. There may or may not be a God. Let's take it, you may or may not believe. There may or may not be a God. But let's take it as a gamble. Maybe there is, maybe there isn't. Okay. If there is no God, and you don't believe in God, you didn't gain anything because life is meaningless anyway. It's short and meaningless. And if you don't believe in God, if there is no God and you do believe in God, then you didn't lose anything because anyway life is short and meaningless. And even then you could say you're better off because generally people who believe in God are happier. I'm extrapolating a bit here. But if there is a God and you don't believe in God, then you're in a hell of a lot of trouble. And if you do believe in God, you got it right. So better as a wager, it's better to believe in God. Logical. But that wasn't, Hayagriva didn't discuss that. That's what I'm trying to remember what Pascal said about. This is one thing that struck me. I've read it before years ago. I think it's only the second time I went through it. That people, they get so upset that they can't sleep and they get fully in their mind if someone says something bad about them. As if it's such a big thing, but they don't even think that they're going to die, and which is a much bigger thing. much more disastrous, someone says, they get all upset. And what the hell does it matter, you know, someone says. If it's true what someone said is bad about you, then take it to heart and try and improve. And if it's not true, then what the hell does it matter anyways? So that was a very good observation he made, which we can learn from that. By studying the Srila Prabhupada's life, how we can see how he's so expert in dealing with different people. It wasn't easy for Srila Prabhupada. In fact, it was just amazing how someone could come from such a high-class spiritual culture and come to the absolute madhouse of the hippie land of the Western world. Just come. In fact, among the hippies, to be crazy was considered prestigious. I happen to remember from. I'm just citing. I just came into my mind. I didn't think of the fellow for years, but there was a hippie in the town I lived in. He was called Mad John. And that was a compliment. Prabhupada, how he was so expert in dealing with them, so many people. Not that he was manipulative, but he acted in, he wasn't thinking how to promote myself or my own interest. But he only interacted with others in such a way as to benefit them in Krishna consciousness. That takes a very high level of realization, but that's what we should work at. At the same time, we should be realistic and think that however much we may hope that all devotees get on well together, we shouldn't be utopian. That was the word that Srila Prabhupada used in reply to a letter where a devotee had written to Srila Prabhupada and said that, you see, devotees, they're not getting on with each other. And Srila Prabhupada said, don't be utopian. Oh, the devotee had written and said, isn't that impersonal? Because the devotees, they don't get on with each other. Prabhupada said, no, it's a sign that they're personal. Because if they weren't persons, then they wouldn't be arguing with each other. But Prabhupada said, don't expect a utopian situation. It's a material world. And then Prabhupada gave the example that even in the spiritual world, there are different groups of gopis. And they don't get on with each other. But their central aim is to please Krishna. So we're just going to have to live with the fact that not everyone will get on with each other. My personal policy is that I try to live and work with those who I can get on with, and others offer them respect from a distance. There's no need, as far as possible, there's no need to make enmity. But we get that example that Kripa Opeksha, Balisheshu Dvisatsu. To those who we can benefit, well, let's say the whole verse. Ishvarita dadhineshu balisheshu dusatsu cha prema maitri kripa upeksha yakaroti samadhyama. On the neophyte platform, we can expect there'll be a lot of argument, but on the madhyamadhikari platform, which we're supposed to be coming to at least, we're supposed to direct our love to Krishna, make friends with the devotees. Be kind and merciful to those who are innocent, who we can help by giving Krishna consciousness, and avoid those who are envious. Now, we don't like to see devotees as envious, and we shouldn't. But it's quite possible, quite likely, that there are some devotees who somehow we don't get on with very well, and if we can't resolve it, then we don't have to associate with them very closely. Offer them respect from a distance. And work, instead of, if you're not able to make a harmonious solution, If somehow you find you're not able to do that, maybe there's a lacking in me, maybe there's a lacking, but then just keep your distance, that's all. And no need to be disrespectful. That's what I try to do. It's not always easy. And just live with the fact that we won't be able to get on well with others. But among devotees, we shouldn't be envious or dislike devotees. It doesn't make any sense, does it? People are trying to serve Krishna. They're very rare. What is that? Sudur labam loke. What is that? Sudur labam bhagavata hi loke. It's rare to find a devotee in this world. And have lots of kirtan. Dance and chant together. It's hard to be envious of others when you're chanting and dancing in kirtan together. Just some thoughts. Do you want to add to that anything? Any thoughts from your side? If we can't make a harmonious relationship with devotees, then our preaching is not really going to happen at all, is it? Because people, they don't just listen to, hardly they listen to nice philosophy. They want to see. If there's a happy atmosphere, naturally people will be attracted. That happy atmosphere, if you try to make it artificially, it won't work. But real happy atmosphere comes by surrender to Krishna, everyone trying to work nicely for Krishna. Naturally people will be attracted to that. But if they find there's backbiting, infighting, groupism, and all, then the people, that happens actually. I've heard that said, that people said that, well, in my office and at work, there's so much politics and infighting, then I come and I see the devotees and they talk such high things and I see among them and they just go away. Why should I? They don't see that it's any better. That's a shame, isn't it? Higher goal. We should have a higher goal. Fighting for the country is the higher goal rather than fighting among your neighbors. That's on the material platform. So we have an important work to do as Srila Prabhupada. Actually, quite a few of Prabhupada's letters are directed to the problem of devotees fighting among each other. He said, we have such important work to do, we can't let it be spoiled by petty disagreements. Having a community with a selfless, clear-thinking leader that can help to forge and bring people, to bring devotees together. I can think I was just spent, how long was I in Salem? 2 months, something like that. Gokul Chandra is such a figure that, but then he also there, it's not that everyone's perfectly relating with each other. But if there's a good, strong leader who's good at dealing with people, then it creates a spirit. And they have a project which helps to focus everyone. And he won't push himself forward. Everyone knows he's the leader, but he doesn't push himself forward that I'm so great and everyone should come and touch my feet, and nothing like that. Just the opposite. And then the other devotees pick that up also. It's no one there is pushing themselves for name or fame or any such thing. It's all for Krishna's service. So good spiritual leadership. We'll try our best, and then there may be some people who come are just very troublesome also. That may happen. they may require some firm dealing with. Remember years ago, there was someone came in from trying to make a revolution or something. Here, yeah. Needlessly, and just okay. Hare Krishna. Now it's time for prasad distribution. I don't think we'll take any questions. Is devotees are tired? Tomorrow's a work day. Okay, let's leave it. Okay, but it could have been translation also.
Nityananda Prabhu was translating to a couple of devotees here, but I could have organized it. Sorry, we didn't.
Yeah. There are quite a few devotees who are not so strong. Okay, look, get on his case. What should we do? Throw him out? He's a rascal. We should just throw him out of here. Oh, wait a minute. We're supposed to have good relationships, right? This is the kind of thing, right? There's always an excuse. You don't have to tell me what it is.